What I'd like to do today is to present a couple of projects that deals with the issue of interface. And I also thought that it might be interesting to present work or to compare work that came from the start of my work in interactive media and to compare it to current work that I'm doing now. So the first project we're looking at is from 1990 to 1993, and what's happening on my screen here isn't happening there, so I'm hoping that eventually it'll synchronize. Before I do that, I'd like to acknowledge a couple of people in the audience. First one is Julia Lazar, who's a curator, and she curated a work of mine at the Museum of Contemporary Arts in 1998. And Rosemary Camella, who's, can you put your hand up? Who's Director of Interactive Design at the Annenberg Research Center in Los Angeles. And a lot of the early projects we did together. So the first one was done for the opening of the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in 1992-93. And what it deals with is a collection of objects that I had at the time related to the to my particular history in the Cold War, coming from Hungary, moving to the West as a refugee, and growing up in Canada. And at that time, I was still dealing with the collapse of the Berlin Wall. And so basically, I was looking at the question of how does one organize information, how does one connect bits and pieces of things one has, let's say, using the notion of the archive and the notion of the database. And so the project begins by what I call an interface metaphor, which is an architectural floor plan. And the floor plan is the floor plan of the Hungarian Propaganda Museum, which today is the Museum of Contemporary Arts. In 1983, when I first started to go to this museum, basically, they would show the okay, whatever's happening here is not happening there, but right now it's going through the title phase, and you'll hear two voices.
Сообщение товарища Ленина о переговорах по радио.
Okay. So basically what you missed here was the whole title sequence transition from this museum, which was the official ideological museum, becoming or taken over by my, it becomes my museum. I've made that transition from the etching of the image of the floor plan into this particular organization here of eight chapters. And the two voices we heard, the first one is the voice of Lenin sending his best wishes to Béla Kun. Hungary had a short Soviet Republic around 1919. And here you see record of Lenin, pop music record from Soviet Russia, George Lukács explaining his politically incorrect mistake. A tape that my family made to send back to Hungary with me playing the piano and my brother stalking. My family did not have, at that time it cost a lot of money to telephone. And a propaganda LP here. So the word continues in that manner. Basically, it's an organization of things that I thought that was of interest to me. And a lot of it is official material from the various governments. This is a particular publication from the Hoover Institute, where they took this one day in 1956, November 2nd, and showed how these different world newspapers represented the events at the time. Soviet army, who was in Hungary, did not want to fight. They went out. Another group was sent back in. Meanwhile, Britain and France decided to bomb the Suez, or bomb Egypt, because Nasser wanted to liberate the Suez Canal from the hands of France and England. So I don't have time to go through all the material, but basically the idea of the work was that whoever would come and view these things would go from one thing to another. In this case, a kissing scene of my parents on the Danube that 40 years later I was looking for, and I did find some Beastie Boys graffiti. So this idea of the floor plan is something that I had been thinking about for quite a while, and what I was thinking about was this notion that it's an interface, and its function is to conceptually situate the viewer into a familiar place. And it provides a framework by which these data can be organized. So there's a lot of material here, and some of it is coming from different kind of ideological perspectives, some from the left, some from the right. This was the other voice in the title sequence, which was the first demonstration that I saw in communist Hungary, socialist Hungary, I would say, 1988, and it was an ecological demonstration. But it was a way to kind of express political dissent. I think a year later or a couple years later. Empty can, that said the last trip. As you move around I'll just go back to the reference for a minute. There are certain things like un-American activities from the CIA, Cesar Chavez being un-American, anti-Vietnam activities, effects of nuclear, all these U.S. government documentation. Okay, so room of objects. You could look around these things. And so basically the idea was also to connect them to different stories that I somehow picked up through these things. Now when we did the work, at some point it dawned on me that in fact, even though all these objects and things in the work are very interesting as stories, you could take all of it away and you would still have a structure that would have an essential quality to itself. In other words, the structure itself, I thought, was a thing in it. I don't know if it's content, but in any sense, it has a presence. And my point in this particular work is that these interface metaphors, they qualitatively transform the information that passes through them. And they also charge the information contextually with new meaning, and this new meaning is on both the symbolic and literal plane. Okay, so it takes about an hour and a half to go through this. I think I mentioned that earlier. And one kind of pokes away, looks here, looks there, and eventually the story of the work is a consequence of the sequencing of viewing. And if anybody is interested in looking at this, I can present it in my studio later. Okay, I would like to jump from 1992 to 2002, so a 10-year jump, and just kind of want to go through the results of the exhibition I had this summer that some of you may be familiar with, Pockets Full of Memories. Pockets Full of Memories consisted of visitors at the Centre Pompidou coming to the exhibition and taking an object out of their pockets and scanning it and describing it into a database. that continuously grew. The particular image I'm loading will take about 10 minutes or 5 minutes to load. So meanwhile, I'll try to do something else if it allows me. But it's a crucial image, so I have to wait till we get it up here. Okay, it's multitasking, that's good. The exhibition was running for 4 months, and here you see the exhibition space, and basically the space is an information center. You came in at the entrance, and there were these markings on the floor, and you had to walk up to this object, and this object was the place where you would take something out of your pocket and put it in that box over there, and then up here with a touch screen you would describe what the objects were, and then you would see what somebody else was describing. Once the object entered the database and went to the back where a Cajon and self-organizing map algorithm was continuously organizing and moving them so that all the objects that were of similar quality would be situated next to each other. So it's a kind of emergent behavior where it continuously would create an ordered, you know, ordered state. But since there was new information coming in, it was continuously reorganizing. And on this side, on the other side, you could go in and add stories to these objects. I just want to show you the questionnaire. The individuals had to work hard. They had to do a lot of, provide a lot of data. They had to describe the object. Here we see the object on the left. They had to say where it came from, give some keywords. They had to rate the object according to these properties of old, new, soft, hard, natural, synthetic, disposable, long-use. And these are sliders that people had to use. And it took quite a bit of work, and I was amazed that in fact this became a kind of very social situation. You always had more than one person doing it. You always had a couple of people and they were debating, you know, is it old, is it new? Eventually, once all this data was put in, then they would send it to the archive. So the point that I'm trying to make here is to make the contrast between the first project, which was an archival project having to do with my own particular history, and at that point I started to look at the structuring mechanisms and the means by which one organizes information. And 10 years later I arrived at this project, where by that time I had moved all the way to primarily being interested in the organizing principles and the structures, and somebody else, the public, was providing the data. Okay, my picture is going to take a long time, it seems. Maybe I can show something else in here. Yeah, it's always a debate, you know, what do I do? Do I wait? Do I try something else? I'll talk. One of the things that I cannot go into here is showing you all of the objects and their descriptions, but that information is available on the internet. You can go to my website and you can bring up every object that's been put into the program. There's about 3,300 objects. And you can see how everybody's rated them. Once the exhibition finished, we realized that in fact it was only half over. And the next thing now is the kind of analysis and the organization of all this data that I'm doing with a number of people here on campus and in Germany. This is the picture of the summer's collection of things from beginning to end. I'm Trying to figure out how big to make. Okay, 100% is good. And the this is the chronological order. So it begins on the upper left side, and it goes down vertically. So it began upper left, zigzags down, then goes back up. Now the first 20 or so or 30 or so objects that were put in were things that we put in as tests. And I think the exhibition opened around here. We didn't know what people would put into this archive. What I was interested in was examining what this community of international travelers and that's strange, what they would input. At some point, somebody scanned a hand in, probably holding something like this person, and all of a sudden we began to have a series of hands. At some point, somebody stuck their head in, right here. And basically, all the system was organizing. I don't know why my picture is looking like this. It's a little strange. Where is it refresh? Where do you see refresh? Okay. I don't know if you can see this, but it gives you a wider... Yeah, it's very strange. Eventually, what you see in this kind of thing is an evolution of contributions based on what previous individuals put in. And so by the end of the exhibition, you'll have mostly body parts. Like, you know, here I'm moving towards May. It started in April, May, June, July. In August, all of France goes on vacation, and the camera went down. Okay, I'm sorry, this is not really doing justice to the... Adjust the scale. I'm not quite sure.
Just zoom in and out. Zoom in and out.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Okay, you see more heads. This is probably around July. I'm trying to jump to August, near the end. The camera went down, and somebody fidgeted with the camera, not realizing that all they had to do was turn the restart the computer. So this thing, even the data input, you know, had gained a life of its own. Here you can see how the image just went bad. But meanwhile, the increase of heads, hands, and feet increased exponentially. So the current work for this particular project is to set up a website where we will dynamically be able, or you will dynamically be able to access all of the information. Okay, so the last project that I will show is the most recent one. It was presented at the San Francisco Museum a few weeks ago. Okay, it does have a six-channel sound work that goes with it. It was a collaborative work with Stephen Pope and students in the Media Arts and Technology program. I'm presenting you a work that has a very different kind of approach than the other two we looked at. But I've done a whole series of works in this manner where I'm looking at the interface in terms of a feedback interaction. And this work is called Sensing Speaking Space. And the idea of this particular work is to have an interactive and contemplative experience. When you come into the space, the screen is covered with noise or film dust or ASCII characters, whichever metaphor you want for yourself. And as you walk in the space, there's a camera that senses your presence. And by walking in the space, you wipe away this snow or noise. And while you're wiping away, you notice that in the background there are these green lines that get bigger and bigger. And at some point, the system tries to cover up your steps. Meanwhile, it continues to snow and drop these film dusts or ASCII characters, and it does it in a very orderly manner. If no one walks in the space, eventually you see these long lines of characters. But as you walk in the space, while it tries to cover, it covers in a very random fashion. At some point, you begin to move around quite extensively. Which I'm going to try to imitate here. The lines get longer in the background. Then it hits this kind of threshold level and it goes into transition into another state. And in this particular state, instead of wiping away, the work is to bring forth, bring out. And it's not really running well on my computer. It doesn't look right here. The problem with designing these things is you design them for the most recent technology and then you end up showing them on earlier versions of technology and it doesn't behave as it should. Those texts should be fading away as the new ones come up. So somebody walking through the space brings out these texts and at some point it goes back to the first thing. Okay, so I think that was my 25 minutes. Thank you.